Gentlemen, and welcome to the NL Americas Full Year 2019 Results Conference Call. My name is Josh, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press 0. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements could include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of NL Americas and its management with respect to, among other things, NL Americas business plans, NL Americas cost reduction plans, trends affecting NL Americas financial condition, or results of operations including market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere. Supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to NL Americas or its affiliates. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations and are not guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in those forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in equity capital markets of the United States or Chile, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in NL America's annual report on Form 20-F, including under risk factors. You may access our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. NL Americas undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Rafael de la Haza, NL Americas Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Buenas tardes a todos, and welcome to our full year 2019 results presentation. I'm Rafael de la Haza, Head of Investor Relations, and here with me are Mauricio de Zegri, our CEO, and Aurelio Bustillo, CFO of the company. Let me remind you that this presentation will follow the slides that have been already uploaded into the company's website. Following the presentation, we will have the usual Q&A session. Now, let me hand over the call to Mauricio, who will start by outlining the main highlights of the period in slide number 2.
Thank you, Rafael. Good afternoon, everybody. NL Americas EBITDA for this period reached $3,994 million, an increase of 19% compared to last year, despite the currency devaluation in the four countries where we operate, especially in Argentina, Colombia, and Brazil. Without a negative FX impact, EBITDA would have increased by 35%. During this period, we were able to reduce our OPEX by $119 million. This reduction is mainly explained by efficiencies in Brazil and Argentina. Group net income increased by 34%, reaching $1,614 million. This is explained by better operational results and a one-off impact coming from a tax benefit in Enel Sao Paulo and past liability resolution in Edesur. Regarding our ESG focus, on December, we received the award as the best company in Chile by ALAS 20, being recognized as the number one company in terms of governance and sustainability in Chile. In addition, some weeks ago, we were included again in the sustainability yearbook of Robeco Sam and obtained bronze category. 2019 was a very intense year for NL America, and we got several achievements. On the following slide, we will see the main milestones of the period. On February last year, we announced our intention to make a capital increase for $3.5 billion. As you know, After many meetings with most of our shareholders and having heard the market opinion, we decided to reduce the amount to $3 billion US. On April, this operation was approved on an extraordinary shareholder meeting, and on September, we concluded it with a remarkable 19.5% level of subscription. During the year, we received several recognition and awards. We were included in the MSCI Emerging Market Socially Responsibility Investment Index for the first time, and once again were included in FTSE for Good and Dow Jones Sustainability Indexes, and also in the Best Emerging Market Performer Ranking of the Geo Area. We also were recognized by Deva Chile as the company we advanced the most in the report ranking. And finally, in December, we were awarded as the best company in Chile in terms of ESG by ALAS 20. Along with these recognitions, we received upgrades of our rating and outlook by Fitch and Moody's respectively. Now, on the new slide, let's see the main operating highlights of the period. On generation business, our installed capacity remained basically the same as last year, reaching 11,267 megawatts, from which 55% are hydro. Net production reached 41.8 terawatt-hour, an increase of 5% compared to last year. From the total generation, 61% corresponds to hydro generation, which increased by 1 terawatt-hour, mainly due to higher generation in Brazil and Colombia. Our energy sales increased by 11%, reaching 72.6 terawatt-hour. This is explained by the above-mentioned increase in energy production, but also by energy purchase contracts in Brazil that allowed to improve our margins. Let's analyze distribution business in the coming slide. Distributed energy increased by 19%, reaching 120 terawatt-hours, from which 43 terawatt-hours are explained by Enel São Paulo. In homogeneous terms, our energy sales remain substantially flat compared to last year. Regarding number of customers, we had an increase of about 150,000 despite the client reclassification process that we have been doing in Brazil and Argentina. Quality indicators improved in all our subsidiaries except for Enel Ceará, where we suffered a severe rainy season during August and an increase in the level of social violence at the beginning of the year. Enel Rio also had a small increase in the number of service interruptions. Quality improvement is the main focus of our investments, and this number confirms it. I would like to mention that on 2019, we had the tariff revision processes of Enel Ceará and Enel São Paulo. Regarding the new tariff scheme in Colombia, we recently filed an appeal due to different interpretation in the values recognized for the initial asset base, costs and quality incentives. After that, we do not have any ordinary tariff revision process until 2022. On the following slide, we will see NLX and retail businesses. In NLX business, you can see that regarding ECT, public lighting points slightly increased, reaching 417,000. We had a growth of 50% in photovoltaic business in e-industry. Regarding e-home, we had a significant increase in the transactions of third-party billing and collection services, while the level of contracts of micro insurance was slightly lower. Finally, in e-mobility, the number of charging stations increased from 43 to 448, mainly in Colombia and Argentina. Regarding retail business, the number of delivery points increased by 17%, reaching 2,731, and the energy sold amounted to 17.7 terawatt hour, 6% higher than last year. Let's move to the financial summary for the period on slide 8. EBITDA of the period reached $3,994 million, a 19% increase compared to last year. If we exclude the extraordinary effect of the positive impact for resolution of pending regulatory issues in Argentina, EBITDA would have increased by 13% to $3,791 million. Group net income came in at $1,614 million, 34% higher versus last year, explained by better EBITDA and by an extraordinary effect related to a tax benefit in connection with the merge between Enel Sao Paulo and Enel Sudeste. This was partially offset by a negative one-off impact in Enel Goiás due to the recognition of accounts payable to the state of Goiás, which we will explain in more detail later on. If we isolate extraordinary effect from both 2019 and 2018, group net income would have increased by 21%. Found from operation, FFO, stood at $2,147 million, 16% higher versus last year. This result includes a negative net working capital in the period for an amount of $790 million, mainly due to the payment of activities implemented at the end of 2018 in Brazil and Colombia, and to a non-cash impact due to regulatory asset resolution in Argentina. Group net debt reached $4.3 billion, 37% lower versus the end of 2018, mainly explained by the payment of the debt in Enel Brazil in connection with the purchase of Enel Sao Paulo. Let's take a look at our EBITDA evolution and breakdown by country on the coming slide. As you can see on the chart, distribution business is the main contributor to our consolidated EBITDA increases, with $751 million in operational terms, while generation business increased by $314 million, from which $128 million is from hydro generation. Retail increased by $113 million, while Enelix grew $3 million. Currency devaluation in the four countries where we operate had a negative impact of $544 million. On a country basis, Brazil and Colombia are the most important countries in terms of EBITDA, with 41% and 31% respectively, followed by Argentina and Peru, both with 14%. It is important to highlight that 88% of our EBITDA is generated by zero direct emission activities. Let's analyze CapEx on the following slide. Total gross CapEx for the period amounted to $1,647 million, a decrease of 4.8% compared last year. Without considering FX effect, our investment increased by 5%. CapEx is well balanced between asset management, asset development, and customers, with 38%, 35%, and 26% respectively. Distribution captures most of our CapEx with 79% share. Within distribution business, we have to mention the effect of the consolidation of Enel Sao Paulo in Brazil, which represents 16% of our total distribution CapEx. Investments in generation business represent 16% of the total, while Enelix and retail 3% each. From a geographical point of view, 50% of the investments are devoted to our subsidiaries in Brazil. Now, on the following slides, let's analyze our results on a country-by-country basis, beginning with Argentina. EBITDA in Argentina increased by 39% or $156 million, reaching $552 million. In operational terms, EBITDA increased by $410 million, partially offset by a negative FX impact of $254 million. This important increase in EBITDA is mainly explained by the positive effect coming from the agreement reached with the government in connection with the past liabilities, which entailed a positive impact of $203 million at EBITDA level. In generation business, EBITDA increased by 12%, reaching $245 million. Without considering FX effect, EBITDA would have increased by $141 million, or 66%. This is mainly explained by higher margins as payments are dollarized and due to an efficient fuel cost management. This was partially offset by lower physical sales due to lower demand. In distribution business, EBITDA increased by 71% or $128 million, mainly explained by the already mentioned one-off effect. Demand in our concession area was 4.3% lower compared to last year, while the number of clients slightly decreased due to a reclassification process of our customer base. CapEx in generation business decreased compared to last year, mainly explained by lower investment in Dock Sud. In distribution business, CapEx increased by 23% due to the investments made to improve quality in Edesur. Let's continue with Brazil on the following slide. In Brazil, overall EBITDA in the period increased by 37% or $444 million, including $133 million negative impact coming from FX. EBITDA in generation business increased by 32% or $77 million, which is explained by better results in Fortaleza as a consequence of higher generation and higher energy sales. Our EBITDA in distribution business increased by 37% or $376 million, mainly explained by the full consolidation of Enel Sao Paulo. We also had better results in Enel Rio and Enel Ceará, partially offset by a decrease in Enel Goiás. CapEx in Brazil decreased by 5% compared to last year, reaching $828 million, mainly explained by FX impact. In operational terms, CapEx remained substantially flat. Let's move to Colombia on the following slide. EBITDA in Colombia increased by $37 million, or 3% compared to last year, despite a negative impact of $141 million due to currency devaluation. Without FX impact, EBITDA would have increased by 15%. In the generation business, EBITDA remained flat, but without considering FX impact, we had an increase of 12%, mainly due to higher revenues as a consequence of higher prices. This was offset by a negative FX impact of $79 million. In distribution business, EBITDA increased by 6%, or $34 million, mainly explained by higher demand and higher tariffs. This was partially offset by FX impact of $62 million. CapEx in Colombia decreased by 10% due to negative FX impact. In local currency, CapEx increased 8% compared to last year, mainly focused on quality improvement project in Codensa. Now let's analyze Peru on slide number 14. EBITDA in Peru remained flat, reaching $561 million, explained by better results in distribution business, but a lower result in generation. In generation business, EBITDA decreased by 4%, or $17 million. The decrease is mainly due to the positive one-off effect that we registered last year in connection with the insurance compensation due to El Niño Costero flood. This was partially offset by higher energy sales and higher average sales price. In distribution business, EBITDA reached $257 million, 25 million or 11% higher than last year. Sales increased by 2.1% compared to last year, and average sales price was also higher. The number of clients increased by 11,000. Total CapEx decreased by 11% compared to last year, mainly explained by the completion of restoration work in Cayahuanca power plant and technology improvement projects in Enel Distribution, Distribution Peru. Let me now analyze our efficiencies in the following slide. Starting from $1,641 million of OPEX reported last year, we have to add the OPEX of the first 5 months of 2018 of Enel Sao Paulo in order to properly see the efficiencies gained in the period. In this way, we get to a pro forma OPEX of $1,925 million for 2018. From this amount, we obtain efficiencies for $119 million, mainly due to lower OPEX in Enel Sao Paulo and lower personal expenses in Argentina. In addition to this, we see a reduction of $54 million explained by FX, reaching a final OPEX of $1,752 million, which represents a reduction of 9%. With this, we have reached 42% of the efficiency announced in our previous strategic plan 2019-2021. On the following slide, we will make a focus on sustainability. Sustainability is a key driver for creating long-term value among our shareholders and all our stakeholders. In this way, our strategy integrates our communities and our commitments on United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, recognizing the synergies between social progress and corporate success. Aware of our role in the growth and progress of the areas where the company operates, we carried out in 2019 more than 300 projects focused on engaging the local communities and making them a part of the energy transition. In line with our SDG commitments, the focus has been on promoting access to education, ensuring access to safe and quality energy services, and fostering economic development through entrepreneurship. We have brought more than 4.9 million people under the perspective of sustainable progress since 2015, when we first committed to the SDGs. Enel Americas has also contributed to SDG 9 and 11 related to build a sustainable industry, infrastructure, and cities. In this way, Enel America relies on its low carbon value added products and services, where the smart meter and the Enelix business are relevant to the development of urban areas. In addition, in order to prevent cybersecurity incidents, we cover all of our web applications exposed to internet with advanced cybersecurity solutions. Enel Americas has contributed to fight against climate change by generating a 56% of its energy with hydroelectric assets during this period. As mentioned before, Enel America was awarded as the best Chilean company in terms of ESG by ALAS 20 and was included in the Sustainability Yearbook of Robeco Sam and obtained bronze category. These recognitions confirm the good work that we are doing and the relevance that sustainability has on our strategy. Now, let me hand over to Aurelio, who will present our financial performance in the coming slides.
Thank you, Mauricio. Starting from $2,994 million EBITDA of 2019, the company registered depreciation and amortization of an amount of $1,225 million, 33% higher than the last year, mainly as a result of the consolidation of Enel São Paulo, reaching an EBIT of $2,769 million. Net financial results amounted to minus $378 million, which represents a higher cost of $45 million. This is mainly due to higher financial expenses in Enel Brasil, related to financial expenses coming from the purchase of Enel São Paulo. Income tax registered in the period was $236 million, which is 46% lower than last year. This is explained by the one-off effect already mentioned related to the merger between Enel São Paulo and Enel Sudeste. Total net income amounted to $2,170 million, while attributable net income reached $1,614 million, a 34% increase compared to the previous year results. With all these elements, let's analyze the cash flow in the next slide. FFO amounted to $2,147 million. Starting from an EBITDA of $3,994 million. These results include a negative net working capital in the period for an amount of $790 million due to rebound of net working capital actions taken in 2018 and not compensated by the end of 2019 with new actions mainly in Colombia and Brazil. In addition, we have a non-cash impact due to the regulatory asset resolution in Argentina. Taxes paid during the period amounted to $592 million, while net financial expenses amounted to $465 million, mainly related to our activities in Brazil and Colombia. Net cash flow amounted to minus $224 million during the period, after investing $1,647 million in maintenance and growth capex, as indicated in the previous slides. Dividends paid by the company amounted to $724 million during the period. Extraordinary operations amounted to $2,935 million, mainly as a consequence of the capital increase concluded in August 2018. With all these effects, total net debt decreased to $2,362 million compared with December 2018. Let me now analyze the debt of our company in the following slide. Gross debt amounted to $6.3 billion, as a decrease of 28% versus December 2018. This reduction is mainly explained by the payment of the debt of Enel Brazil in connection with the purchase of Enel São Paulo. This debt, which amounted more or less $2.5 billion, was paid in August 2nd with part of the proceeds of the capital increase. This paid amount was lower than the original $2.65 billion announced, thanks to the currency devaluation in Brazil. And as a consequence of this, we have a higher amount available to the risk of the pension fund. Thus, the remaining 500 use of proceeds, as I said, are still in the balance of the company, ready to be used for the pension fund de-risking, waiting for the PREVIC approval expected to come for the coming months. In terms of currency, despite the reduction in Enel Brazil's debt, half of our debt is still in Brazilian reais, and also half of it located in Brazil, as you can see in the right side chart. Finally, regarding cost of debt, we can see a reduction for this period from 7.3% in 2018 to 7.1% in 2019. Now let's see how we have added value to our shareholders in the coming slide. Dividend accrued during the period reached a maximum historical amount of $807 million. This represents an increase of 34% compared to 2018, and implies a dividend per share of $0.53, slightly higher than last year, due to the fact that after the capital increase concluded in August, the number of shares of the company increased. This dividend has still to be approved by the general shareholders meeting that will take place in April this year. In terms of share performance, you can see that Enel America's share has improved by 16.6% since the beginning of 2019, overperforming in a significant way in the Chilean main index. As a consequence of this good performance, market cap recently reached a maximum amount for this company and currently is at $13.7 billion, being the biggest company in the Chilean market in terms of market cap. Let me now continue with the focus in our last two acquisitions in Brazilian distribution business. And starting with Enel São Paulo, we are very satisfied with the performance of the company. EBITDA reached $638 million at Enel America's level. And if we compare the number in the reais and Brazilian GAAP, we see that EBITDA increased by 115%, mainly due to OPEX reduction and also higher tariffs due to the tariff reset process concluded on July 2019, which resulted in a higher RAB for the coming periods. At net income level, we have a positive result of 777 million reais, while last year the company reported a loss of 315 million reais in Brazilian GAAP. This improvement is explained by a better operational results and a better financial results. Gross CapEx reached $221 million, and it was mainly allocated to digitalize and modernize the network, the distribution network. OPEX decreased by 23% as a reduction, as a result of the integration optimization process of Enel São Paulo in Enel Americas Group, and has allowed us to reduce the operating costs. That profile has improved compared to previous year, thanks to a good liability management by the company. Regarding the operational performance, distributed energy slightly increased with respect to, of last year, and energy loss were in line with last year. We can see that the quality indicators, SAIDI and SAIFI, have improved in on a significant matter, reducing by 10% and 16% respectively, as a result of the investments in the company distribution network. In fact, the company has been recognized as distribution company with a better improvement in 2019, according to the consumer perception survey elaborated every year by ANEEL, the regulator, Brazilian regulator. We are very confident that we will continue adding value in line to what we announced on our strategic plan. Now, on the next slide, let me highlight the performance of Enel Goiás during the period. Regarding quality indicators, we see a solid performance of SAIDI and SAIFI, which is explained by our strong CAPEX plan focus in infrastructure and networks. Both indicators were improved by 13 and 25% respectively. It is important to mention that Enel Goiás accomplished all the agreements defined in the investment plan settled with the government, and current quality indicators are the best that the company has ever had, much better than the regulatory levels defined in the concession agreement. In August this year, the company signed a voluntary agreement with the government of Goiás to improve some cluster areas to accelerate the investment and quality targets agreed in the original concession agreement. Despite the financial and operational efforts that the company is doing, we had a decrease in EBITDA of 5.5% in Brazilian reais, mainly explained by higher OPEX, which is mainly explained by an improvement, the works to improve quality in the company. Net income registered a negative amount of 100 million reais, explained by a negative extraordinary effect of 437 million reais as a consequence of a reversal on the accounts receivable from the state of Goiás. This reversal refers to the judicial disputes on the rights of reimbursement regarding legal and administrative contingencies originated prior to by the company's acquisition of Enel Americas, which should be then reimbursed by the state of Goiás through FUNAC mechanism. Such rights, although established by the purchase agreement, is currently being questioned by local law changes and is under legal dispute. As a result, the accounts receivable regarding contingency from December 2012 to April 2015 have been reverted. With this impact, net income would have, without this impact, net income would have been plus a positive of 188 million reais. In terms of debt, we have been able to reduce the cost of debt by 1.1%. The company added more than 87,000 clients during the last 12 months, and its energy distributed increased by 3.7%. Energy loss slightly increased compared of last year, reaching 12.3%. Now, on the following slide, Mauricio will conclude this presentation with some closing remarks.
Thank you, Aurelio. We were able to have a very positive result in the second in this period, thanks to our operational performance driven by the distribution business. Our storytelling is really consistent with our strategy, allowing the company to reach targets despite the significant currency devaluation and other negative macroeconomic conditions that we have seen in the region in the last months. We concluded our tariff review processes in CRI and São Paulo, and thanks to our CapEx acceleration plan, we have been able to significantly improve quality indicators in Enel Goiás. Thanks to our good performance, we are going to distribute the highest dividend in the history of the company, and we became the largest company in the S&P/IPSA index by market cap. The capital increase was successfully completed, with 99.5% of our subscription and slightly more than $3 billion collected. Now we are in the very solid position to continue with our growth path in the region. As we have mentioned before, we have substantially in the heart of our sustainability, in the heart of our strategy, and we are glad to be recognized as an ESG-focused company. In 2019, we received several recognitions on ESG matters and were awarded as the best company in Chile by ALAS 20.
Well, thank you for your attention, and I now pass the call to the operator for the Q&A session. Operator, please proceed. Operator?
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from Enrico Bartoli with MainFirst. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, and first of all, taking my question. I have three. The first one is regarding the 4.7 billion target for EBITDA that you have for 2020. If we strip out the one-offs in 19, it would imply around $1 billion of increase compared to last year. If you can guide us on the drivers of this $1 billion increase, and if you can remind us what the assumptions are in the guidance in terms of Forex. Second question is regarding Argentina. If you can give us an update on, let's say, the approach of the new administration towards the electricity sector, if you see any kind of risk of rediscussion of the regulatory framework, particularly in Edesur, that had been implemented in the past 2 years. And the last one is on the CapEx for 2020, if you can give us a guidance and possibly a breakdown on the areas where you expect to implement the investments. Thank you.
I will start to reply. Let's say then I will leave the floor to Aurelio. Regarding EBITDA, the increase is mainly due to the fact that you will get the benefit of the full year of revision of the tariffs in Electropaulo. Remember that we got the tariff review starting from July, so we will get the first 7 months full recognition of tariffs, and in Brazil as well, you have the actualization of the tariffs with inflation. So mainly is due to the increase in remuneration of distribution company. I don't know if on this point you.
Just to add that, yes, the growth is in distribution. You asked about the Forex considered. We consider 3.7, but actualizing this figure, we should have an adjust of $300 million, right? If we consider the current consensus. As you know, the real is being devaluated, so this is the effect. On the other hand, we are projecting some upsides of these of efficiencies in order to try to compensate this figure. But mainly is the due to distribution.
Regarding Argentina, just to recall, we have in our budget 2020. No, in our budget 2020, as we said during presentation of our business plan, we put a 6 months tariff frozen, and exactly what is going on. Regarding, as you can recall, the declaration of the government to the monetary fund and to the market that they will not go over the 6 months of tariff block. Regarding, of course, the announcement of the new tariff revision, really was an announcement. We don't know exactly if and what will be the content of this revision. But you can imagine that what we are doing, we are analyzing several aspects, for example, related to the Acuerdo Marco and to the other items that can compensate some differentiation by our hypothesis. So on the distribution side, we don't expect big change compared to what we have assumed in our business plan. Regarding generation, there was as well an announcement regarding the fact that they want to eliminate the dollarization of the tariffs and going to pesos, and some change regarding capacity payment. The discussion is also getting a higher price in terms of energy, and with a sort of actualization of the tariffs with a proxy of inflation. And based on our calculation, we don't see as well any major change in remuneration of the of generation as well. There are, for example, there was the possibility last year for the generator to buy their own gas, and now this is reverted to CAMMESA. And this is the major change that right now is producing in Argentina. So in the overall, we don't see for the time being major change in the hypothesis of our budget. Nevertheless, we are as well studying some other adjustments. We are under negotiation, of course, with the government. Just to recall that now the responsible of the concession of Edesur is the government of the city of Buenos Aires and the president of the province of Buenos Aires, even though the regulatory body will remain in ENRE. So we don't see any major change, and we are, of course, as usual, studying Plan B effect. Regarding CAPEX...
Enrico asked about the CAPEX. CAPEX is 62% allocated in Brazil, right? The other 38% is allocated in Colombia, 16%, then Argentina and Peru. But the major part is Brazil. And in terms of business, 82% is infrastructure and natural, is distribution companies, of course. The total is $1.7 billion for this year. As Maurizio was explaining, this is focused in quality improvement, efficiency, and of course, it reinforces the grab of the company to the next tariff reset.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Elchin Mamadov with Bloomberg Intelligence. You may proceed with your question.
Hi there. I have three questions, please. The first two on guidance. So your can you confirm your 2020-2022 earnings guidance that you published last December? Obviously, the consensus is way off, so I just wanted to see if you're still comfortable with your latest guidance. And the second question is, again, on it, your 2019 figures came below your target. Shall we expect any mid-size acquisitions for you to bridge the gap between your guidance and this foreign exchange headwinds that we're seeing holding you back? And the last question is on minority buyouts. I mean, shall we expect more of them to come, or you've done everything you could and you've reached the target? Obviously, you have some headroom following the capital increase, hence why I'm asking. Thank you.
You're welcome. I will reply directly to the third question, and then I will leave the other two to Aurelio. Yes. The minority buyout process will continue along the 2019 in line with our statement during the capital increase. I just recall that the capital increase was a sort of equity payment that means focused mainly on repaying the bridge loan for the Sao Paulo acquisition, and the remaining is just the risking the pension fund in Sao Paulo, and we are going ahead very positive. Of course, with the capital increase, we have a net debt EBITDA ratio that will allow us just to get more to increase our debt. And mainly this will be focused for the time being on buy back of minority. This is true. Regarding guidance?
Regarding the guidance, it was regarding our forex projection. Let me tell you that basically Brazil is the main difference if you compare. Of course, you can calculate because we published our assumptions. Brazil is the main one that we see that the effects has a difference with the last consensus. We consider 3.7 and now it's 4.1. Let's see the next one, but as I explained it in the previous question, we expected the effect for this year of this balance or this difference, mainly Brazil, would represent $250 to $300 million this year, right? Of course, we have we are accelerating some activities in order to compensate, not with new acquisition, but with efficiency, okay? That's our focus. What happened in 2019? Yes, we suffered this effect in the business of Brazil. Also, a small part in Colombia, but mainly Brazil in Colombia, with an effect of $370 million of reduction by this effect variation. As you know, our local revenues in all the countries are in local currency. So we have this translation effect that we cannot control. But on the same way, we have all our debt in local currency. So it's a balanced situation in the local currency. But let me remind you that in 2019, we announced $1.3 billion of net income, and we are delivering $1.6 billion of net income. And we'll pay this 50% of this amount next May, 50% of the value, which is around $800 million US dollars, of which we already paid in January $100 million. So we are exposed, but we are improving our efficiency, and we'll report every quarter the performance and the effect related to consensus from the following quarters, especially because we are suffering this scenario or volatile scenario in the international financial market.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Charles Fishman with Morningstar. You may proceed with your question.
My question is concerning slide 21. So based on that slide, your recommendation at the shareholders meeting, dividend recommendation is 53 cents per ADR. I just wanted to confirm that, number one. And then number two is when, you know, at the one of the bullet point or the subtitle at the top, higher dividends versus guidance, the 53 cents is actually a couple cents less than the guidance in December. So I'm assuming when you say higher dividends versus guidance, that's the 807 million that you're referring to is higher than your guidance in December. If you could just clarify that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles, for your question. Yes, the net income of the company is 1.6 billion, right? We'll pay 50% of this amount this year. Okay. The number of course, if you calculate by shares, when we did the capital increase, we issued new shares. So the amount by share is lower. But in any case, the amount that we'll pay is higher due to its higher results, especially for São Paulo. The acquisition of São Paulo was very important to be. Because it was only possible because the tariff reset that we did in São Paulo, and this is also possible to register this positive effect, tax effect in our balance sheet of 2019. So that's why we were very successful with the São Paulo transaction, and then we'll remunerate the shareholders in 2020. I don't know if I answered all your points.
No, that was, and then a follow-up question. Your target payout will be is still 50%, correct?
Yes, we'll maintain 50%.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Murilo Riccini with Banco Santander Chile. You may proceed with your question.
Hi guys, good morning. Thanks for the call and congratulations for the result. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the slide 24 and the comment about future M&A. Is the statement provided in the capital market event about the intention to consolidate the latest acquisitions before new purchases maintained, or should we see the statement of this page as a change due to any new opportunities? And the second question is, what are the next targets to continue improving in the ESG rankings? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding, just to recall, for the consistency of our storytelling, recalling what we were telling during the capital increase. We said, okay, with the capital increase, we will allow more money coming from Brazil to Enel America, and exactly we are fulfilling this commitment, and we will open up possibility for new debt, doing two things, we said at that time. Buy back on minority, and I already replied to the question, yes, this is will continue along the 2020. And regarding acquisition, as you know, the acquisition, it depends by the availability of target to be acquired and the interest and the financial discipline that always we apply to our acquisition. And as you know, we continue to monitoring all opportunity in the region, and we will continue to do it. And we will see exactly what will come out in the next month in country like Brazil, for example. Regarding ESG, as you know, when you got qualification from one of the agencies that I mentioned during the presentation, we come out with some recommendation. No? We see and we analyze why, usually we do a checklist of improvement in terms of board composition, in terms of activity to be that needs to be done. So usually we recently received our classification as well in RobecoSAM. As I said, we are analyzing, let's say, the report that will be officially issued, and then we will work in improving our target is go up in the ranking of these indexes. And what is our driver? The driver is the analysis of the recommendation that comes from the analysis of the checklist analysis. So we will continue. Of course, as we said during the presentation of the business plan, we will work on the SDGs 7, 9, 11, and 13. I mean, finally, the 13, we will work for the reduction of CO2. We will continue to work in the improvement of infrastructure and cities. In the reality, Sao Paulo will continue in this respect to represent our focus just to go into the direction of smart city. As you know, we have already done the work in Villa Olimpia. We will continue demonstrating the concept related to smart city. Digitalization, etc., and as I said in the closing closing remarks, we have brought more than 4.9 million people under the perspective of sustainable progress since 2016, when we first committed to SDG. We will continue in this direction. With the rules or the guidelines that comes from the analysis of the indexes with intention to go up, and we will continue on these SDGs that are, let's say, coherent with our investment plan, and we will continue to push into the direction, as I told you, the SDG 7, 9, 11, and 13.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcelo Brito with Citi. You may proceed with your question.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. The question is about Eletropaulo's deferred tax assets. We certainly know that in Brazil there has been a lot of administrative and legal disputes concerning the ability of a company to realize the deferred tax assets stemming from goodwill amortization. So the question is, how confident is the company about its ability to fully realize its deferred tax assets and reduce its tax burden? Do you have any sort of legal opinion clearly stating that the company can actually fully amortize that deferred tax asset? Thank you.
The reply is yes, of course.
Thank you, Marcelo. Yes, we have legal opinion. The balance sheet is audited by independent auditors, revised by tax specialists and companies and so on. Your question is very important. How can we assure that we can compensate? After the tariff reset, you see that we doubled the EBITDA of the company. We doubled the results. We reduced OPEX and we increased the remuneration. If you project our regulatory or our EBITDA, you see that we'll more than compensate this amount in the following years. So, of course, if you look at the previous Eletropaulo, it wouldn't be possible, but after the tariff reset, after the voluntary dismissal plan, after the efficiencies in the company, the procurement efficiencies, the shift between OPEX, reducing OPEX and increasing CAPEX, you can see that you project these and we are more than comfortable that we'll be able to compensate. If not, it wouldn't be possible to register the effects in our balance.
So that resuming from this point of view, the strong result that we have demonstrated with numbers, with improvement in the performance as well of the quality indicators of Sao Paulo, in the reality, this strong result will allow us and allows también as well the auditors just to confirm the sustainability of the recovery.
Thank you.
And of course, if you recall, when we did the capital increase, we said that this capital increase had been focused on some specific item. We said that at the end of the story, with the investment and the possibility to have a sort of tax shield will be expected a substantial recovery of $420 million of taxes in the next 3-5 years. No, and this is exactly what we, if you recall, we announced during the capital increase. And we are exactly pushing.
All right.
Thank you. And as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press *1 on your telephone. Our next question comes from Sarah Piccimini with Mediobanca. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first one is on the EBITDA growth. If you can please guide us to the growth in EBITDA, excluding the one-off in Argentina and also excluding the difference in the perimeter for 2019. That would be helpful. And the second question is on the net working capital. If I'm not wrong, it was about 1 billion at 9 months and still appear about 800 million. So do you expect this working capital to recover during 2020? Thank you.
Well, regarding putting the same in the same comparison, the EBITDA from 2020 your question for 2018 to 2019, right?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Without effects, it would increase by 35%, okay? Mainly driven by São Paulo. But if we adjust, if I remove the effects, it would increase 35%. But we need to adjust also the EBITDA from São Paulo, let's say analyze it. No? So this EBITDA would increase for 12.9%. Okay, so the EBITDA growth was 19%. Without effects, it would grow 35%. But aligned with one-off and this homogeneous São Paulo, it would increase 12.9-13%. Is it clear?
This is the first question.
Yeah. Thank you. Very clear. Thanks.
And the second one is net working capital.
The net working capital. Of course, net working capital here, we had two main effects here. First one is the CVA, which is the purchase of energy in distribution companies in Brazil. Okay, to the companies in Brazil, they have a tariff in their, let's say, a spot price in their tariff. So they, if the price, the real price is higher, the company anticipates cash, okay, and then the following year recover cash. In Brazil, you have a delay of 1 year. So this effect was not totally recovered, okay? It was not totally compensated. And the other effect is that since we had a tariff reset in 2019, especially from São Paulo and from Ceará, we needed to, of course, to increase the RAB, we needed to anticipate or increase our payments, our CAPEX payments, in order to accelerate the process and translate this into RAB. So both these effects, of course, put pressure in our working capital, but it will be recovered because the CVA is a pass-through, will recover in 2020, and in this, if there is a disbalance in 2020, it will be in 2021. And the CAPEX, of course, a higher CAPEX will be a better remuneration. So it will be in our margin, will recover this working capital.
Many thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and I'm not showing any further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to Rafael de la Haza for any further remarks.
Well, as there are no more questions, I conclude the results conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team is available for any doubt that you may have. Thanks for your attention. Have a good evening.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.